This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
It's 13 minutes after 6. Now with part 1 of the Morning Ag Show, we join WSMI Ag Director Gabe Osborne.
Thank you very much, Randy, and good morning. Let's take a look at those grain futures from yesterday, Monday, off the Board of Trade. Corn futures traded both sides of unchanged, and soybeans futures closed the session higher, finding support from less than expected rainfall in South America over the weekend. Moving on into corn now, a lack of fresh news there, coupled with spillover weakness from lower wheat futures and talk that Brazil tariff-free ethanol import quota with the U.S. will end yesterday, hung over the market. Traders also continued to monitor corn demand. There were no flash sales of export announcements on Monday. Market participants are trying to outguess China's corn demand situation as they are expected to increase their corn buying in the near future to rebuild their reserve. U.S. corn export inspections came in at 34.9 million bushels Monday morning, which was in line with the most recent four-week average. Last week's shipments included 353,000 tons to China. Cumulative corn inspections are up 65% from last year and need to average over 54 million bushels every week to reach the USDA's 2.7 billion bushels annual projection. That would indicate corn exports will need to pick up considerably in the second half of this coming marketing year. Wheat futures were sharply lower on Monday. The break was primarily attributed to news from Russia that the government will put a 30% metric ton export tax that will be placed on their wheat exports from February 15th through June 30th. The expectation is that Russian wheat will likely flood the export market until tariffs become active. And the basis update for corn, Gulf corn was steady nearby and a penny weaker for January and February, while barge freight was little changed. The Midwest weather forecast calls for mostly dry conditions for the bulk of this week, which will not be good for water levels on the Mississippi. Processor basis was mostly unchanged, though pushes have been noted in various markets. Producer selling was quiet yesterday. Moving on and taking a look at soybeans, those futures closed the session higher, finding support from less than expected rainfall in South America over the weekend. Talk continues that Brazil's 2021 bean crop could fall to 126 to 128 million metric tons versus the USDA's projection of 133 million metric tons, and that Argentina's bean crop could also come lower than USDA projections. Although current forecasts indicate both that Brazil and Argentina could see scattered showers the next few days, Brazilian soybean farmers are estimated to be 95% complete with their 2021 soybean seeding. Weekly U.S. soybean export inspections were strong again on Monday morning for 87 million bushels. One of the totals is just over 57 million bushels, and that was destined for China. For reference, Argentina has not exported a soybean cargo in over 7 weeks, while just one boat has said to have sailed from Brazil last week. Total U.S. bean inspections are up 72% from last year. Weekly soybean exports need to average over 25 million bushels the balance of the marketing year to reach USDA's 2.2 billion bushel annual projection. There were no soybean sales reported on Monday. The basis update for beans had Gulf soybeans firmer Monday. Offers exceeded bids by approximately 3 to 5 cents. Processor markets were mostly unchanged, and producer selling was also quiet Monday for soybeans. Again, taking a look at wheat, those wheat futures fell double digits on Monday, giving back all of Friday's gains. Soft red wheat closed 12 and 3 quarters to 18 cents in the red. Hard red wheat was down 15 and 3 quarters to 19 at the close. Spring wheat was down 10 and 3 quarters to 12 and a half. Russian internal wheat prices fell, raising questions about any tariff impacts on global export prices. December futures expired at 5.93 and a half for soft red wheat, 5.79 for hard red wheat, and 5.43 and a half for spring wheat. Bar charts commodity view had the average spot price for wheat at 5.68 per bushel for soft wheat, 5.28 for hard wheat, and 5.07 for spring wheat. USDA's export inspections report showed 261,164 metric tons of wheat was shipped on the week ending last Thursday. That was down 51% week over week and 49% below the same week last year. Soft wheat was the top variety with 42% of the total, hard wheat and was another 40%. China was the top destination for shipment with 38% of last week's total. USDA reported accumulated wheat exports are 13.73 million metric tons through Thursday. That's still 1.2% ahead of last year. Jordan is tendering 120,000 metric tons of wheat, and Egypt's Department of Agriculture is also tendering for wheat, with results expected today. So, recapping your grain futures from yesterday, Monday off the Board of Trade, corn for March closed at 424, up a half cent. May corn closed at 427 and a quarter, three quarters of a cent higher. July corn at 428 and a half, up by a quarter cent. January beans closed at 1169 and a half, up nine. March beans at 1174 and a half, up eight and a half. May beans at 1176 and a half, up nine and a quarter. January bean meal at 380.70, up 40 cents. January soybean oil at 38.73, up 49 cents. Finally, in the wheat complex, Chicago wheat closed at 596 and a half, down 18. Kansas City wheat closed at 562 and a quarter, down 19. And Minneapolis spring wheat at 557 and a half, down by 12 and a half. Now we'll move on and take you to the Illinois Department of Agriculture in Springfield for Monday's Cash Grain Report.
This is Monday's report of grain price and trends prepared by the Illinois Department of Agriculture. Illinois country grain prices were mixed on Monday afternoon. Soybeans were guided upwards from lack of rainfall in South America over the weekend. In northern West Illinois country, grain dealers quoted shell corn bids steady at 392 to 421. Soybean bids were 9 cents higher at 1137 to 1169. In central Illinois country, grain dealers quoted shell corn bids mixed at 402 to 431. While soybean bids were 9 cents higher at 1147 to 1175. In the southern part of the state, shell corn bids were steady to 3 cents lower at 403 to 446. Soybean bids were 9 cents higher at 1149 to 1196. Illinois soybean processor cash soybean bids were 9 cents higher at 1180 to 1190. Both basis unchanged at 10 over to 20 over the January. High pro soybean meal on a truck basis offered at 378.70 to 390.70. Up 40 cents to $1.60 a ton, with basis unchanged to down 2 at 2 under to 10 over the January. Illinois corn processor cash corn bids were a penny higher at 419 to 449, with basis unchanged at 5 under to 25 over the March. Illinois River barges loading elevators quoted to produce corn bids up 2 to 3 cents, 424 to 428, with basis mixed at option to 4 over the March. Soybeans ended 9 to 11 cents higher at 1166 to 1169, with basis steady to up 2 at 4 under to 1 under the January. East St. Louis barge flowing to my place, their producer corn bid steady, 4 cents lower at 448 to 450. These elevators raised their soybean prices 9 cents, quotations at 1195 to 1196. Soft wheat closed down 18 cents at 626 to 627. Milo ended the day steady at 494 to 499. Contract bids for January delivery, corn in the northern part of the state at 394 to 424, soybeans at 1120 to 1169. In the central part of the state, corn for January delivery at 404 to 430, soybeans at 1147 to 1170. In the southern part of the state, corn for January delivery at 409 to 452, soybeans at 1155 to 1201. That concludes our report. This is David Humphreys with the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
Moving on to your livestock futures report here on this Tuesday morning. Afternoon trading faded the earlier gains, leaving fat cattle futures near unchanged on Monday. February fat cattle were 15 cents lower at the close. August close 5 cents higher. Front-month feeder cattle futures also gave back earlier gains and ended yesterday mixed, within 30 cents of unchanged. Last Friday's feeder cattle index was 6 cents weaker to 136.57. USDA reported no cash cattle business yesterday, Monday, with a typical quiet start to the week. The bulk of last week's cash sales were between 106 to 108. USDA reported Monday afternoon box beef prices had fallen 419 a hundredweight and 341 a hundredweight for choice and select, respectively. Choice ribs were at 447.69. Select ribs were at 345.34. USDA's estimate for yesterday's cattle slaughter was 120,000 head. That's even with the same week last year, but up 1,000 from last week's start. Lean hog futures ended the first trade day of a new week with triple-digit gains in February and April. December hogs expired at 64.90 yesterday. The lean hog index was down 26 cents back on Thursday at 65.35. The fresh bacon index from the Chicago Mercantile Exchange was down $4.67 on the week to 121.99. Pork cutout futures also closed 70 to $1.17 higher, with December expiring at 78.37. USDA's national average afternoon base hog price was 6 cents weaker Monday to 53.55. Friday it was 53.44. China's pork futures began trading on January 8th on the Dalian Commodity Exchange in 16 million ton lots. That's equal to 35,274 pounds. USDA's national pork carcass cutout value was quoted at 77.03, down 268, and USDA estimated the federally inspected hog slaughter yesterday at 497,000 head. That's 2,000 head above last year and 2,000 head above last week. So again, let's recap your livestock futures for Monday off the Mercantile Exchange. Fat cattle for December closed at 109.10, up 35 cents. February live cattle at 113.10, down 15 cents. April live cattle closed at 117.37, unchanged from the Friday close. January feeder cattle closed at 140.02, up 30. March feeders at 140.60, down, up 5 cents rather. Feeder cattle for April were at 141.85, down 5 cents. Moving on to hogs, February hogs closed at 65.67, up 2.45. The December hogs yesterday finished at 64.90, closing out that contract. April hogs finished at 68.82, up $1.32, and May hogs closed at 73.30, up 32 cents. Now we'll move on and take you back to the Illinois Department of Agriculture in Springfield for yesterday's cash livestock report.
This is the Illinois Department of Agriculture with Monday afternoon livestock report. Started the National Daily Direct Hog Report. Calculations for 200-pound park carcass traded 77 cents lower, in range of $48 to $56, with a weighted average carcass price of $53.44. From the Illinois Direct Sow Port, slaughter sow price were 1 to 2 lower with moderate demand for heavy offerings. U.S. 1 to 3 grade sows under 400 pounds traded $24 to $27, 4 to 5 weighted $26 to $29, 5 to 6 weighted $30 to $33, and over 600 pounds $32 to $35. On the Illinois direct hog trade, prices of barrels of gelt's country buying points were $1 to $2 lower, with moderate demand for moderate offerings ranging from $31 to $36. Pack of receipts for barrels and gelt's have totaled 37,292. In the National Daily Pork Plant Port, trading for retail and processing cuts was stashed with 302 loads traded. Calculations for 200-pound park carcass was 77.03, which is $2.68 lower. From the National Box Beef Cutout Port, values for choice and select beef carcasses are trading lower. Choice carcass 209.69, which is $4.19 lower, while select carcasses were 192.30, which is $3.41 lower. For the estimated daily slaughter under federal inspection, cattle slaughter was estimated 120,000, compared to 119,000 last week and 120,000 one year ago. Hog slaughter was estimated 497,000, compared to 487,000 last week and 495,000 one year ago. That concludes the livestock report. This is David Humphreys with the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
And that's all for part one of the Morning Ag Show, brought to you by Linko Precision, by the McAdams Millwright Service, and by DeKalb Asgrow. Part two of the Morning Ag Show, brought to you by Stein Seed, and by Seavers Equipment of Hamel, Hillsboro, Greenfield, Carlinville, Auburn, and Jerseyville. And once again, we join WSMI Ag Director Gabe Osborne.
Thanks again, Randy. Now here for Ag News on your Tuesday morning. Politics, not just a virus, is proving deadly in America as lawmakers continue to endlessly fight over relief the country is desperate for. Americans are dying, businesses are closing and laying off workers, farmers need more help, and states and cities are losing revenue. But what are lawmakers doing? Fighting. People have had it up to here, and Central Illinois moderate Republican Rodney Davis agrees.
I share their frustration. I really, truly do. Keep in mind, though, in Speaker Pelosi's own words, she wanted to wait to help them, to help struggling American businesses. to help give them access to billions that are still sitting in accounts from legislation we passed back in March and April. They can't get access to those dollars, even though they're struggling to financially survive. And Speaker Pelosi says, hey, I want to wait for a new president.
Pelosi and Democrats blame Republicans for not backing aid for states and cities and insisting on COVID lawsuit protections for businesses like meatpacking plants. There's also fighting over agency spending bills, which could force a vote on another short-term bill to keep the government open during a rare session during the New Year's Eve week. But Davis sees one bright spot, a life-saving, economy-rescuing vaccine now being distributed with the help of Midwest corn and ethanol producers.
We see them producing things like carbon dioxide, CO2 that needs to go into materials that are going to help us move in a temperature-controlled manner this historic vaccine out into the public arena. A vaccine, multiple vaccines being used for the most vulnerable in our country because we invested and we came together in a bipartisan way months ago.
Davis is still hopeful that lawmakers will resolve their differences for the sake of the country. He also talks about that ultimately defeating the virus will lead to greater opportunities for mid-Illinois producers.
You know, absolutely. Our farmers, when you look at the great yields they've had, and we look at the increased markets that even more so in the midst of the pandemic than what we anticipated during the trade wars not so long ago, hopefully news is looking up for our farmers and our ag sector. The problem is we're still in the midst of this COVID pandemic, and that's got to be our first priority, is to defeat this virus. And frankly, I'm so proud of the bipartisan work that we were able to do back in the spring to allow for American ingenuity to come up with multiple vaccines. That puts us on a path back to normalcy. We see light at the end of the tunnel. And we've just got to be ready to make sure the programs are in place and the opportunities to sell products in the global marketplace are there once we come out of it.
Finally, Davis, who is a member of the House Committee on Transportation and Infrastructure, is proud of the investments made on the lock and dam system on the Illinois and Mississippi rivers this year, and says it will be a game changer for Midwestern farmers in the long run.
Well, I'm glad that the Trump administration was finally the administration to invest in our locks and dams along the Illinois and Mississippi River waterways. It's crucial for our farmers to get their products out in the global marketplace. And that the investment in LaGrange has been amazing. And it got done on time, just like they said it would. And I'm excited to see that. So now we have to keep moving. But it took that first investment, Dave, to be able to get people to take seriously that these investments and these rehabs and these modernization of the old locks in our lock and dam system needed to be repaired and needed to be done. And that's exactly what this has done. And I'm confident that this administration and hopefully any future administration will take what the Trump administration did and continue that process.
Again, that's Congressman Rodney Davis of Taylorville. In other ag news here on your Monday, Krista Hardin will be taking the role of CEO of the U.S. Dairy Export Council if Tom Vilsack, who currently serves as CEO, is confirmed as the next agricultural secretary. Hardin served as Deputy Ag Secretary from 2013 through 2016 and is the current Chief Operating Officer at the USDEC. Vilsack previously served as Ag Secretary during the entirety of the Obama administration. Chair of the organization, Larry Hancock, stated in a news release, Vilsack will continue to serve fully in his role as President and CEO of the USDEC until he's confirmed as the Secretary of Agriculture for the new administration. Once Vilsack is confirmed as Ag Secretary, Hardin will become the CEO of USDEC. Dairy Management Incorporated CEO Tom Gallagher says, we are extremely fortunate to have Secretary Vilsack's dedication and commitment to dairy farmers over the past 4 years, and to have someone with Krista's background and experience in agriculture with the USDEC ready to step in to a new role. The CHS Foundation, funded by charitable gifts from CHS, announced a more than $4 million commitment over the next 3 years to the National FFA organization. The effort will include annual funding for programs the CHS Foundation has had a history of supporting. These include the Teach Ag campaign, which focuses on ag teacher retention and recruitment, educating students on the value of the cooperative system through My Local Cooperative curriculum participation in proficiency awards, and National FFA Convention and support of 17 state FFA associations. New focus areas for the CHS Foundation include dedicated funding for students' supervised ag experiences, or SAEs, and state officer leadership programs. National FFA Foundation President Molly Ball says, quote, "We are excited to see the CHS Foundation recognize the key role that our educators play in creating the next generation of leaders. CHS Foundation has been a generous partner with the National FFA for more than 40 years. And new research published in the Journal of Animal Science and Biotechnology provides insight into the fight against African swine fever. The research, a collaborative effort between academia and natural biologics, characterized the antiviral effect of individual medium-chain fatty acids and glycerol monolaurate, known as GML, to inhibit ASF in feed. Animal feed and feed ingredients have been recently implicated as potential vectors of transmissional spread of ASF. The study says effective feed mitigation strategies are urgently needed to reduce the risk of transboundary spread and would improve prospects for global pig production. Natural Biologics President Dr. Charles Elrod says, quote, "This research establishes the science behind a viable opportunity to curb disease transmission. The research found GML not only killed ASF, but also exhibited additional mechanisms of antiviral activity, leading to a 99.8% reduction in the amount of infective virus. In feed, only GML was able to inactivate ASF, working quickly in as little as a half an hour." Moving along now into State of Illinois Ag News, the Illinois Department of Agriculture has announced the second year of the fall covers for Spring Savings Program. The program is eligible for acreage here in Illinois planted to a cover crop this fall that will then be planted to an insurable crop come spring. Eligible applicants receive a $5 per acre premium discount on the following year's crop insurance invoice for every acre of cover crops enrolled and verified within the program. Last year, which was the inaugural season, an additional 50,000 acres of cover crops were planted in the state, with 70% of applicants identified as planting a cover crop for the very first time. Farmers are encouraged to take this program into consideration when making their fall planting decisions. And the program is officially open today. Applications are available on the Illinois Department of Agriculture's website. And if you need more information, you can call the Illinois Department of Agriculture at 217-782-6297. In other news from the state, it's full steam ahead for the 2021 State Fair already. Planning has been underway with some big announcements coming from the Illinois State Fair, including the Grandstand Concert lineup. For the first time, the State Fair is announcing part of the Grandstand Concert lineup before Christmas. Tickets go on sale today for shows by Toby Keith, Kelsey Ballerini, George Thorogood, and more. There will also be a new seating area for the concerts called the Blue Ribbon Zone, and a new ride pass, says State Fair Manager Kevin Gordon.
This is the first year that I've been with the fair, and I think in the history of the fair, that we have ever released our grandstand acts and went on sale prior to Christmas. I think it gives the individuals who want to go to the concert, gives them a golden opportunity to purchase these as Christmas presents, which is great. Now, we're very, very excited about that. For an extra $10 on your Mega Pass, you can purchase a Jumbo Pass, and that will include as many times as you want to go down the giant slide for 11 days.
Both the Jumbo Pass and the Mega Pass go on sale this week at a reduced rate for the holidays. You can learn more online at IllinoisStateFair.info. In other ag news from around the state, beginning here in late December, the U.S. Department of Agriculture's National Ag Statistics Service will be spending several months gathering information about farm economics and production practices from farmers across the state, as the agency conducts the third and final phase of the 2020 Agricultural Resource Management Survey, or ARMS. In an effort to obtain the most accurate data, NASS will reach out to more than 30,000 producers across the country, including more than 1,600 here in Illinois between January and April. The survey asks producers to provide in-depth information about their operating revenue and household characteristics. The 2020 ARM survey includes a version of the questionnaire focused on hog and pig production cost returns. This year, the survey will also include questions to help measure any impacts of COVID-19 on the farm, on-farm finances, and off-farm employment. In addition to producing accurate information, NASS also reminds you they have strong safeguards in place to protect the confidentiality of all farmers who respond to its survey. The agency only publishes data in aggregate form, ensuring that the confidentiality of all responders and that no individual responder or operation can be identified. The expense data gathered in ARMS will be published in the annual Farm Production Expenditure Report in July of next year. That report and others are available online at nass.usda.gov/publications. More reports based on ARMS data and more information about ARMS are available online at ers.usda.gov/ARMS. And in local ag news, 6 U of I Extension employees were recognized for their accomplishments resulting in organizational change that supports diversity, pluralism, and innovation. The local winner was Amanda Cole, and she serves as Director of Christian Jersey Macoupin in Montgomery County, and she works to assess needs within the community, and then she works to connect individuals, families, businesses, organizations, and communities to an unbiased research through Extension programs, which the goal of empowering those to serve to make better informed decisions. Her interests include educating communities on issues facing those living in poverty and on the resources available through Extension. Cole is a native of Central Illinois, and she earned both her Bachelor of Science and Master's of Business Administration from Eastern Illinois University in Charleston. Her primary focus of study was business and finance. And that'll wrap up your Ag News here on a Tuesday morning. But remember, you can always send us your Ag News by an email at WSMI@WSMIRadio.com. So again, for this Tuesday morning, December 15th, this has been Gabe Osborne reporting WSMI Ag News.